Welcome to The Public Storyteller. My name is Michael Stock with Dr. Karen Neal. Karen is affiliate professor at Florida Atlantic University and a professional storyteller. Hi, Karen.
Hey, Michael.
What story do you have today?
Michael, here's a story from Christina Seamster.
I am the head of school for Fusion Academy's New Boca Raton campus, and I also teach teachers to teach as an adjunct professor at Florida Atlantic University. And the story that I'm going to tell today happened about a decade and a half ago in South Florida. I had just relocated to Broward County from Orlando, and I was bright-eyed and bushy-tailed and ready to teach. It was my second year of teaching elementary school, and I now know that as a teacher who's new to a school, my class was filled with the quote-unquote difficult children. They like to load them all up on there, which is fine. I'm ready to go. So I was teaching kindergarten that school year. I was advised by my mentor not to smile at the students until after the holidays, and I just thought to myself, not smile? I mean, as a naturally smiley person, I was beyond nervous. So I did what any beyond nervous teacher would do. I over-prepared. So before the first day of school, I read and read and read all about my students. And I don't know if this was the best idea because it just made me even more nervous. I read notes from previous teachers on their progress reports and their report cards. And I really started to become overwhelmed because I'm learning things like there are lots of behavior issues. And one young boy in particular really had me nervous because I didn't know how I was going to reach him for lots of reasons. His paperwork indicated that he had made no academic growth through the previous school year. He was socially immature and extremely active with lots of referrals for things like running around the classroom during the lesson and even fleeing the classroom and leaving the school. He would become angry and lash out at his previous teacher and scream at her across the room and just emotionally break down in class. He also had poor fine motor and he was a non-reader completely. So I just started consulting with my colleagues and I said, what do I do? How do I address this kiddo? How do I meet his needs? And I was advised to initiate a very strict behavior plan. Day one, keep your thumb on him. And I thought, this is not what I signed up for. Going to be working in some kind of a behavior institution or a prison, or am I teaching children? So after perseverating all night before the first day of school, I felt very strongly that all of my students, they deserved a clean slate. Why would I start off punishing the student for past behaviors? I didn't even know him. This is what other people are accounting on of him. So I decided to go against the grain and honor my gut. Where there was anger and sadness, I'm going to show love and patience. That's how I was going to get to the student, and that's how I was going to get to all of my students to buy into learning. So on the first day of school, I greeted each of them at the front door of my classroom. And when this particular difficult student came to the door and introduced himself, my instincts completely took over, and there was something about him that drew me to him. And I welcomed him with a big hug, which, you know, is frowned upon in schools these days. We're not allowed to hug our students. You're not allowed to love your students, but I said, I'm going to do it anyway. And I gave him a big hug, and he smiled. And I was like, ah, what a nice start. Okay, I can do this. So throughout the school year, I just took an interest in his interests. He loved sports and cars and bike riding and dinosaurs. And we had our share of difficult days. When he was frustrated, he would hit other students to get their attention. He was very active in the classroom, and he would impulsively call out during lessons. And I would just stand there and patiently redirect with a smile. I did smile lots. I didn't take my mentor's advice. And I think that really helped him because whenever I could, I would just involve him in activities which required physical movement. Okay, you want to be up and moving around? You're going to pass out the paper. You're going to run errands. And I treated him no different than any other student. I just gave him what he needed. At the end of the first quarter, his mom came in to sit down for a conference, and I'll never forget when we sat down to have this conference because, you know, she's expecting to hear all of these horrible things, and I had read all the notes that had gone home to him the previous school year, and she came in and sat down and was just very somber looking, and So, you know, I kind of hugged her from the shoulder as well. Like, hey, good to see you. I love your son. And she started breaking down, and she explained that he was diagnosed and treated for having a brain tumor the school year before. And this is why he was acting out, and he was school avoidant and angry and sad because of the medical condition and the hard times that he had been going through. And she said, thank you. Thank you for loving my son. Thank you for not sending home reports daily and a strict behavior plan. And you gave him what he needed. He needed love. He wasn't a bad boy. He was a child in crisis. She said that she didn't want me to judge him before knowing him, which is why she hadn't shared the information about his condition prior to the meeting. He actually left my classroom reading on grade level and had a love for learning. I truly had no idea the impact that my teaching had on him until one day I was completely surprised to find a radio station crew. They came and met me on the playground and said, oh, we're from the local radio station, and you're our teacher of the month because of the work that you've done with this student. The mom wrote his letter and shared his story, and we're throwing your class an ice cream party. And I just remember crying and crying and in love and excitement for my students.
Christina Seamster with a story about an innovative way to teach troubled kids.
In some ways it's innovative. In some ways it's the oldest trick in the book. You know, you show love, you get love back. You show respect, you get respect back. More recently, there is this management style and this teaching style. I remember learning this in a leadership book many years ago. You start off hard and then you soften up. They'll respect you first and then they'll love you. Whereas if they love you first, they won't respect you. And I have been fighting with exactly that problem in my own life. And so I really, really connected with Christina's story.
It seems to me it has changed over time because the classrooms have gotten bigger. You have to be strict.
There are all kinds of disciplinary problems now that many, many years ago were treated in different ways. There were times when corporal punishment, for goodness sake, was possible in the classroom. And I think for my money, the point of this story was do what you feel. And I loved when she made the point, I didn't treat him any differently than any other student. At first, I'm thinking, what are you talking about? You're treating him totally different. And then I realized what she then said, which is, I gave him what he needed. Mm-hmm. And like you say, it's much harder to do when there are more students.
And she sounded like a school teacher.
Yeah, she sounded actually like a very kind and warm person. I could see her working with kindergarten kids, or rather, I could hear her working with kindergarten kids. And that's one of the beauties of what we do, Michael, is that we don't know what she looks like. I mean, we'll get the picture for the website eventually. But what we know is what she chooses to give us, what she puts forth through her voice and through her words. Her energy is so strong in this story. Her use of language, I love that word, perseverate. That's such a great word. But you can tell that she has a passion for what she's doing. She didn't phone this story in. She really was intensely involved and engaged, not only was she describing intense involvement and engagement, but her medium was her message. She was intensely involved and engaged. You could tell by her voice and by her energy as well.
It's sad that she's a new teacher and she ends up with the most difficult kids in the school.
You know, they often do that because they want to. My parents were both teachers, and I know a little bit. I mean, that was a while back. But from what I understand, they often do that because they want to reward the really experienced teachers with the good kids. So who gets the tough kids? The reason I think that's so interesting for our purposes here is it is another kind of an archetype or a tale type, I guess you would say, trial by fire. And that expression comes from the fact that very often it's the new people, the newbies, the neophytes, who get the trial by fire. If you can make it here, you can make it anywhere, as the song says. And so that is not just a common thing that schools do or businesses do, but it is a type of story, a tale type we see again and again, because it makes for such great drama, as it did here.
Well, thanks for bringing that story in, Karen. If our listeners have a South Florida story they'd like to share, how can they get in touch with you?
Send me an email, cneil, that's C-N as in Nancy, E-I-L-E, at fau.edu.
Our website also has contact information as well as archive stories at wlrn.org, Click Radio, and The Public Storyteller. Thanks, Karen.
Thank you, Michael. See you next week.
Dr. Karen Neal is affiliate professor at Florida Atlantic University and a professional storyteller. My name is Michael Stock. The Public Storyteller returns next Sunday.